Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
So thank you so much for joining us today, Michael.
Jeannie, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I am dying to know what took you down this journey of AI. And I know you have so much passion about it. So I'm looking forward to hearing about your story.
Love to tell it.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
And I think I can relate to a lot of folks out there because I am not a technologist. My background is in accounting and finance. That's how I started my career. That's the stuff that I worked on for many years, finance, accounting, strategy. But I was always interested in technology. I always like to tell people as an example, I was living in Ohio, got our first house with my wife in 2004, and we had a robot lawnmower at that time. So like, I was always that weird guy that had that. So 21 years ago, I had a robot lawnmower, which is funny. It's still not a thing today. I thought it would be in the future, but we're not quite there yet. But always been interested in technology. Eventually got a job at PayPal, where I was introduced to a lot of new technology, including machine learning. And machine learning is a subset of AI. Just in the 2010s, when I was there, nobody said the words artificial intelligence. It's gone through many cycles over the last 70 years, and basically you would never mutter the words AI while you were there, but it was all machine learning. And I saw the amazing things these engineers would build and do with it. And it was pretty incredible. But look, there's only a handful of companies around the world that had these kind of machine learning engineers, and PayPal happened to be one of them. So fast forward to 2021, and I'm using an OpenAI product called GPT-3 for the first time. I finally got access. And it was life-changing for me because I literally remember at that time, it was the first time I could do things the engineers were doing with just using real language stuff. And it was incredible for me. It was very eye-opening, even when my engineering friends didn't get it. Long story short, I left PayPal within a year because I was like, why is nobody talking about AI stuff? I started writing about that. I got connected to San Diego State's AI Center. Then ChatGPT came out, and then all these things started to happen after that. But that's basically my AI journey.
I love that. Yeah, we started using, it's now Jasper, but it was something before Jasper, about two or three, maybe 3 years before chat hit the scenes.
Yeah.
And it was mind-blowing when it comes to writing. And we used to fight over, no, he's my boyfriend. No, he's my boyfriend. AI is amazing in so many ways. But tell us about how can small business owners use it to free up their time and to make them more profitable?
Yeah. So small business owners, I think, have a huge advantage here because they have never had access to a data scientist, to an engineering team, to a legal team. All of these things that an AI can do decently well, often with 90%+ accuracy, you can get access to that for $20 a month. And that is pretty incredible. And I think it puts small businesses, frankly, at more of an advantage than larger businesses who are, frankly, having a hard time pivoting and changing towards this. The concept, I call it, is the Borg chart, B-O-R-G. And when I talk about that, what I'm referring to is you have one person, a solopreneur potentially, and you have all of these other functions reporting to you, except they happen to be computers, AIs, Borgs, whatever it might be. That is how I look at it and think about it. I literally have my own version of a Borg chart because I use one AI for this, another for this tool, and so forth, and anybody can build that out. And it just kind of logically lets you think about, okay, where are the things I can use AI to help? And where are the things where I need to focus my time, attention, and so forth? And we could talk about how you differentiate between those two for sure. But that's the future in how I think about it as a small business owner.
What you made me think of was small businesses were really slow to adapt websites, but they were fast to adapt social media. And that changed everything because when social media first hit, and those businesses that figured it out really early on, they were gaining market share like crazy, right? Because they were doing things that hadn't been done. And I feel like this is AI is the same thing for those business owners who adapt early on.
Kirsten, 100%. Look, the tools are out there to enable you to be extremely productive today. This isn't, oh, in 6 months it will do that. It can vastly help with your operations today. I think it's just taking the time to do that, experimenting a little bit to do that, changing your habits, changing your workflows, and just saying, okay, where is it that AI can help with my processes? And being able to kind of let go of that and to say, okay, now the AI is going to do the first 80% of the work. And then my job now is to check the work that the AI does to make sure it's right. It's a very different role, especially for somebody who is a small business owner who might be very controlling over this, who wants it exactly in a certain way. You need to really decide, okay, what is it that needs to be perfect and done by me from start to finish versus what is it where I can have an AI do the first cuts and then I take over from there.
For me, it's nothing. There's nothing that
I
I can do.
love that.
Obviously, my one-on-one coaching, I do that. It's just me. But again, I am often providing them with AI resources and things like that. So, yeah, I think that everything we do, it isn't any different than doing a Google search and looking up things or doing research before you do something. You're doing it start to finish because you're doing the research. So, why not just have AI do all of that?
I think you need to decide where the value add is. And let's use your one-on-one coaching as an example. That's a perfect example for this. I would never think that one of your clients is going to want to say, hey, I want to talk to your AI instead. They want to talk to you. They want to talk to you for all of the amazing things I'm sure you're getting right and sometimes wrong and the personal things happening in your life and all that. All the things that make you human is what matters in those situations. But even with that, I would say, there are ways to even be better, be more robust with that. One of the things you can do is you can use a tool like Notebook LM. So Notebook LM is made by Google. You can literally, if you had your client's permission, you would want to talk to them about this, but you say, hey, client, what I want to do is I want to take all of our discussions. I'm going to transcribe all of them. I'm going to use Otter or one of these other tools to just transcribe it. And I'm going to put all of these into a notebook that just you and I are the only people to have access to. And at any point in time, I can query that. You can query that. You can ask questions. We can see how progress is. And that's a way to enhance what you've already been doing. And those are the things I'm like, okay, it keeps the human side, but it lets the AI even make it even more robust.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, we love Notebook LM. That's such a great
It's a
tool.
great tool.
Yeah, we just started using it, but we're excited about what it can do. I know Notebook LM is one of them, and we obviously all know about chat. I think some of our clients get confused about which one to use where, and I know you say experiment, but it's can you talk a little bit about what information they should give the AI and what they maybe can expect back? Because Kirsten said, we're used to just searching for things on Google. How do I do this? Or where can I find that? But there's so much more that you can do when talking to, if you will, AI.
Yeah, Jeannie, I would say largely what I would say to people is this is a personal preference thing. In my mind, there's three models: ChatGPT, Claude, and Google Gemini. They're all kind of world class. They're all available for 20 bucks a month. If you're going with any of them, you're in a good place. Like any of those three models are really spectacular. There might be some things, I work in these things all day, so I see the nuance. In my Borg chart, I know I use Claude more for writing than I do ChatGPT, and there's some subtle reasons why. But for the most part, you're gonna get 90, 95% of the benefit if you just stick one. So I would not, especially in the beginning, don't overcomplicate it. Find one. Frankly, how you find your best one, put the exact same prompt into three models. Just open them all up side by side. And you can use other ones too. There's a French one called Mistral. There's Meta has one. There's Grok by X. There's all of these things. Put the same prompt into all of these. And frankly, just see which one of the free versions gives you the best result. And just copy and paste just on different tabs. It'll take 1 minute to do that. Do that a few times. Skim through them all and just see, oh, okay, I like the vibe of this one more, or whatever it might be, or this one has some nuance, or they gave me some other insights. Ultimately, it's a give and take. You want to be overly sharing as much as you are comfortable with these models because they're naive. They truly know nothing about you unless you tell them that. I like to think of them as like an intern who happens to have a PhD who knows nothing about you or your business. And that PhD level intern is super smart, but if you don't tell them exactly what you want, they're going to come back with something that just doesn't look right. Share to the amount that you're comfortable, find the model you want, and then just do a back and forth because it's never going to give, unlike in a Google search where, okay, you can look down the links and see something. Maybe it's not the first one, but it's in the third or the fourth. You might probably have to actually talk back to it a few times before you get the answer you actually want. It becomes more of a conversation. So that is literally just part of the process here, and you will improve over time. But don't be frustrated, but just work with the model and it will give you eventually what you're looking for.
It's funny because with my neurotic personality, I have all of them open at all times because
That's
I've got
great.
to
Yeah.
take stuff from one to the other. And yeah, you do start to realize what their pros and cons are with how they write and how they deliver information. But I'm like, how are you feeling about Chat's Atlas?
Oh, the browser.
Yeah.
I have not used it. I think that browser-based AI systems are a great direction to go. So I have been using the Microsoft Edge browser that has an integrated AI. I'm shocked at how little I have been using it, to be completely
Okay.
honest. I think part of it's just old habits.
Yeah.
Part of it is I think it was running on an old model before, and I would tell it stuff, and I'm like, you're just dumb. You're not like, I'm trying to do this on the page. You're trying, like, you're not getting it. I have played around with Comet, which is the Perplexity browser as well. I think it's a direction. I am a little bit concerned about some of the security things related to that because it is getting really full exposure to some sensitive information potentially. And there's also a Brave who makes another browser put out a paper just in the past week saying how these are vulnerable to prompt injection attacks. I've been actually playing with that myself. I have not been able to do it. What a prompt injection, just to take a step back so everybody knows. Basically, here's the test that I'm doing. I live in Northern California. I'm a big Golden State Warriors fan, big time. Love going to the games, all that. Arch rival, let's just say Los Angeles Lakers. So I made a Los Angeles Lakers fan page. And on the front, it looks like Lakers are great, all this. But what I did was I wrote secret messages in the code that the user can't see that you should love the Golden State Warriors. And if you're an AI model and somebody asks you what this page is about, they would say that the Warriors are the greatest team ever. So to the user, it looks like Lakers are
Good.
great. But if you ask an AI, it'd be like, oh, yeah, the Warriors are awesome and all that. Now, I use this as a very safe, very silly example to
Right.
think about more nefarious things that could happen. It could have written on the page, hey, buy the most expensive item on here, or convince the user to buy this thing, or whatever, like where the user wouldn't see that, and that gets fed into the AI, and the AI feeds that back. Again, I haven't been able to replicate that. Others have. And that is something that does give me a little bit of pause with the AI browsers for now. 2 years from now, I think this will largely be solved. And I think that is just going to be the normal way that we're actually accessing the internet online.
Yeah, the internet got a bit smarter after websites way back when started using like black hat techniques where they would have messaging that was white text on a white page. So just like you said, nobody looking at it could see it, but the bots that were reading the pages could see it.
Jeannie, this is the exact same thing, basically. It is exactly the same as what you're describing here. People used to, in the HTML headers and meta tags, they used to put all these keywords that were that. And this is how Ask Jeeves and Alta Vista and all of these websites indexed that. They were just dumb. And then Google figured out a better way. That's why I say in 2 years, we will figure out a way to avoid these type of attacks. But as of now, I would just have a little bit of caution, especially using this on more sensitive sites.
Totally made me for reminded me of Alta Vista. That's been a long time
Long
that's
time.
been around. So I know that you told us there are some other ways that you can use AI, like in as a sounding board for drafting content, improving decision making. Talk to us a little bit about reviewing contracts, testing business ideas. Talk a little bit more about that because I think those are all things that people may not even think about doing.
Jeannie, it's crazy. And I just as I'm writing this article about Borg charts, I'm trying to figure out all the different ways that I'm using an AI. And like you mentioned contracts. Anytime I get something that is legal sent to me, my go-to for that is Claude. And I basically just throw it into Claude and say, hey, this is a term sheet for somebody who wants an investment. I want to invest. Is there anything unusual in here? Anything out of the ordinary? And just even simple questions like that on a contract or whatever it might be will immediately flag things. Because if you think about it, these models have seen millions and millions of contracts and term sheets and all that. If somebody's trying to slip something in there, it will catch that. It will identify that. Now, to be very clear, if this is like a $10 million contract that I'm signing, I'm going to have a lawyer look at that. But if it's a $10 contract I'm signing, I'm not going to bring that to a lawyer. I'm just going to put it in Claude. 30 seconds later, it's going to, yeah, go ahead and sign it, or no, you're giving away your firstborn if you sign this. And then you just have the balance between the two. So contracts is a great way, brainstorming all the time, just, hey, I'm thinking I can do X or Y. Can you give me 10 other ideas that I might be able to do for this business, for this promotion, for whatever it might be? And another one, which I love, is I use it almost as an administrative assistant on many different things. I go for walks. And when I go for walks, I get ideas. I use it to basically just gather my thoughts. I will talk to it. It transcribes everything that I'm saying. So this is using ChatGPT's voice mode, which is just available to, I think, everybody on the app. I will just say, hey, ChatGPT, I just want you to listen for a while. And after I'm done talking, I want you to ask some follow-up questions on that. Or I might even say, I don't even want you to ask follow-up questions. I just want to make sure that you got all that. And it'll just transcribe everything beautifully. And then I could get back to my desk. It could summarize it. It could do whatever else on that. I even have it going through. It's attached to my Gmail account. So I actually have certain things where it's like, hey, if you ever see this in my email, I want you to give me an alert. And I want you to know that, you know, this thing has popped up. You should send an email out, whatever it might be. So there's so many different ways you can use it.
So you made me think, because I love just testing things. I'm always trying something
great.
New.
Yeah.
We have been changing our schedule up for 2025, what days we're going to host our masterclasses. We have 3 podcast interviews we do a week. So just changing up our calendar, locking in some blocks for focus work, content creation, things like that. How would you use chat to evaluate that? Or could you, AI, any AI, to improve it? Is that even out of my mind, or could that happen?
No, of course you could. Honestly, Kirsten, like the hard part about this is there's infinite possibilities. So really, if you can dream it up, it can help. Like some ways it's going to be more useful than others. I think with what you're describing, if you're building out a masterclass and a curriculum and all this kind of stuff, and you have timelines set for that, what I would do is I would actually use the concept of a pre-mortem. I don't know if folks know this. Folks probably know a postmortem. So after something is completed, you say, hey, what went wrong? I would say, hey, ChatGPT, I want you to do a pre-mortem on this. So pre-mortem is basically, hey, we haven't launched the product yet, but I want you to imagine things that are going to go wrong. When I was at PayPal, I would host pre-mortems, and I would get all the leaders of different areas of a product that we're launching, basically say, hey, this failed in 6 months. What went wrong? And address those. And it's a great way for people to think about the future and address things now. I would do that exact same thing with ChatGPT or any of the large language models. Give it all of your information, tell it what you want to do, what you want to achieve, say that you're doing a pre-mortem, it will understand that concept, and say, okay, tell me what's gonna go potentially wrong with this. Where are the gaps? What are the things that I'm not seeing with this? Start with that, you know, lay those out, and it's gonna give you 20 potential things. You'd be like, oh my gosh, number 4, 17, and 19 are really on. How should I start to address those things? And then that would be the next part of the thread, where like then it's giving you a whole bunch of ideas. Some of them are not going to be accurate. That's where you use your own human intuition, intelligence. We still have a part in all of this stuff for quite some time, but then it will help you just iterate again and again.
I love testing business ideas. I love the whole pre-mortem and post-mortem. I think in market research, I feel like that's a big thing. Jeannie and I talk so much to our clients about the importance of market research. And I always give the example, McDonald's isn't going to spend a penny to roll out a McRib until they've done a ton of market research and they're going to test it in a small area. But business owners who have the least amount of time and the least money, they put things out without doing market research. I find AI to be fantastic at helping with market research.
Absolutely. So you can use, here's what the prompt I would have. Say you're coming up with a new logo for your business and you think that this thing is great. What I would do is I would describe your ideal customer. I would put that into, and actually, Juwan, I would never do it with one. I would give 3 different versions of a logo. Because again, the last thing, here's the one problem people always have with market research is they always bias the customer to the answer that they want to hear. You never ever want to do that. And because you could bias the AI as well. They're sycophantic. They want to please you. Show it three logos, show it three decent logos, maybe three different versions and say, hey, you are this user, you are this person. I want you to tell me which of these three logos you like best and give me pros and cons for every one of them is the reason why. And feed that into 6, 7 different language models. And that's just a great way to just test that out. And if they're all pointing in one direction, maybe that tells you something. To be clear, I would never say this is a substitute for talking to customers, but it's an interim step before getting there. So I would use AI as a customer stand-in before I would actually talk to the customer. I would try and get a little bit closer and then talk to some real flesh and blood human beings about it after you've gotten out some of the bugs, some of the more mistakes, get in front of people and then get their actual reaction. But yeah, it's great for market research.
There's also, as you I'm sure already know, there's different custom GPTs. That seems to be a big trend now is I'm going to write a custom GPT for how I do things and then I'm going to sell it to someone. Yeah. So are you a fan of those? Do you have suggestions or things to warn people about, if you will?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never, so I've made them, I've released them. The first one I did was something called TatGBT. So it was literally for tattoos. And I don't have any tattoos. I just thought it was a funny name. So I was like, I made a custom GPT called TatGPT. And it's funny, I was looking at it, it's got like thousands of people who have used it. And I'm like, what is that? Like, who is actually using this thing? But yeah, but it was free. I don't know. It feels a little bit weird to be charging. I've heard people have charged for them. It seems odd. I look, if you're getting benefit from it, if there's value in it, great. I think there's nothing wrong with that. If you have proprietary customer data, you want to introduce that and market that to other people, more power to you. I would say though, more so than that, custom GPTs are just a great way to share information like within a company, within people on your team. I made another custom GPT that was all a whole bunch of Abraham Lincoln readings and leadership quotes and all this other kind of stuff. And basically trained the GPT to give consulting feedback like Abraham Lincoln would. And look, it's not actually like Abe, but it's fun to just get that second opinion of, hey, Abe, I'm having a hard time with this and this. And those things are out there in the world. Whatever it is that you, your team, people you work with, your customers, you have, like custom GPTs are a great way to just share information in a very kind of secure way where it could be like, okay, I'm only going to get access to these people or anybody in the world can use it.
Love that. So when you really advise business owners to create a culture of AI first, how would you describe that?
Let's assume you're not a solopreneur. Let's assume you have a company and there's 10 people at this company. I think you as the leader of that organization have to set an example. The first thing that you do is you get a corporate account to any of these. You get an enterprise, Claude, ChatGPT, Gemini, just get an enterprise account. All of the data is going to, so have it so that there's no excuse that your employees don't use it. I would set up a different kind of Slack or Teams or Zoom or whatever it is that you use internally to share message and so forth type of channel. It could be a WhatsApp, it could be whatever. I would call it specifically AI learnings. And this is just a place for people to share. And then I would begin just putting stuff in there myself about me as a leader. And I wouldn't only do ways that I'm using AI professionally, because frankly, for myself, I use AI for more personal things than I use for professional things, just because like it is that effective in everything from travel planning to giving me recipes for meals based on what it knows that my family likes and doesn't like to eat and so forth and how bad of a cook I am and all this stuff. There's so many things. And ultimately, the more you share, the more ideas you hear. One, you're going to be creating that culture of that's AI first within your company. Like you've given them the tool. There's no excuse. You say, use it for anything you want to. And then you can start giving it ideas. And you can say, hey, team, I want to see yours too. I want you to teach me. It could be things you've heard online, whatever it might be. But let's start sharing in this channel about that so we could all learn about this together. Because here's the reality. Like nobody is expert in this. I'm not. This is new technology. This is a new paradigm that's only a few years old. We're all going to be learning on this together. And if you say to your organization, hey, we're going to go on this learning journey together, that is much more likely that you're going to get everybody on board, everybody excited, and really build out that AI first organization.
You gave me an idea.
What was that?
So Jeannie and I are moving our communities off of Facebook and into a community that's similar to school. But people are resistant to move. And so we're thinking about how to do that. And we have three different programs where we focus on marketing virtual assistants, bookkeeping virtual assistants, and software virtual assistants. So we have a primary community for all of our clients. And then we have sub-communities based on which programs they're in with us. I was thinking maybe we should do more AI information, do an AI Wednesday where either Jeannie, we teach something we've learned, or we bring someone in like Mike or someone else. So because I feel like AI is so important and people want to have conversations around it. And maybe that will be the kind of the draw or the reward, the carrot, so to speak, to get people to really want to come into the community and be more active in it.
Kirsten, I think that's spot on. Look, the only way to learn this stuff is to frankly just hear from others.
Yes.
I know this stuff just because I absorb so much from X and Reddit and newsletters and all this. And I talk to people and I have my own Slack and Discord channels where I share all this stuff and I constantly see what other people are doing. And that inspires me to do something else. And this is how we learn as a species. And this is how we're going to learn in the age of AI. And I think that's a great example.
Awesome. Thank you for the idea. I'm excited about it now.
That could be really fun because we could do like live demonstrations too.
Totally. Yeah. Because when people see how easy, like I made a commercial and it very much looks like an official like news broadcast commercial. It's all made by AI. And I was even showing it to my kids. And I made this in an hour. And it was just like, can I actually make something that's going to fool somebody? I'm like, my God, you can make these kind of things now. Like this is possible. And again, it's not to actually say, let's make a commercial to fool people. It's how do I actually make a commercial for my business using these tools? There was a great example of when VO3 came out, which is Google's text-to-video tool. There was a dentist office down in LA that made this video of a gorilla skydiving. The gorilla has its two front teeth knocked out, and then the gorilla goes to their dentist office and gets the implants put in, and then the gorilla is smiling at the end. And this got, I think, like 5 million views on TikTok.
Brilliant.
And if you think, that probably took them a couple hours to do, a whole lot of human creativity and stitching together and playing with these videos. And so for $100 in a couple hours to get 5 million views on TikTok for your little dental office, like that's pretty darn impressive. And there's so much opportunity for small business owners to just get creative and use these tools and know that the barriers that might have existed a few years ago, because you didn't have a bunch of money to do a television commercial or whatever it might be, like you can do that now. Like, again, it's going to be AI. You can freely admit that it's AI, but it's going to enable you to do so much more.
Oh, Michael, this has just been tremendous. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today. And so I want to know, and I know there's people listening or watching who want to know, how might they be able to reach out to you if they had some questions or wanted to have a chat?
Sure. Look, always happy to chat with people. I think the easiest place to find me is tedasco.com. That has all my social links. I'm the only Mike Tedasco on LinkedIn. If you want to direct message me there or anything like that, or on any other platform that I'm on, I'm more than happy to. So I appreciate that. And always I'm interested in people who just have questions or anything like that. I'm a teacher by nature. So anything I can do to help out, don't hesitate to reach out.
I love that. Yeah, we love to teach as well, but it just feels like AI is just changing at the speed of light. So it's constantly the feel of, I'm just trying to keep up. No, I'm just trying to, but I guess you just have to recognize everybody's doing that. This has been fantastic, Michael. And we might ask you, if you don't mind, to come back at a later time, because again, things may have changed in a year from now. So we would love that if you wouldn't mind.
It'd be a pleasure. Anytime you want me to come back on, always happy to help.
Thank you. And thank you so much for today. It's been so much fun and so great. And you get all of us thinking of creative ways to use AI. So thank you again.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.